And here we are. I'm Karen Artglass. You're tuned in to It's All About Food. And that's what we talk about here. Food. Wonderful food. Sometimes we talk about the dark side of food, but that's not what it's about today. Today is about joy. Today is about deliciousness. Today is about... I wasn't even planning on saying that, but today is about... Okay, and now I'm going to bring on my guest, and we'll get more into the of the plant-based journey right now. So, Lonnie Mulrath is an award-winning teacher, author, and speaker, well-known for her expertise in plant-based active mindful living, and the author of a new book, The Plant-Based Journey, A Step-by-Step Guide to Transition to a Healthy Lifestyle and Achieving Your Ideal Weight. Lonnie has served as presenter and consultant for the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine and the Complete Health Improvement Project. That's CHIP. We've talked to both Neil Barnard of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine and Dr. Hans Diehl of the CHIP plan in Loma Linda. And she is published in prominent periodicals, including Prevention Magazine, USA Today, and the Saturday Evening Post, and has been featured on ABC TV and CBS TV on numerous radio shows and created and starred in her own CBS television show, Lonnie's All Heart Aerobics. Welcome, Lonnie. How are you today?
Hi, Karen. I'm doing great, and thank you so much for having me on your fabulous program.
Well, thank you, and thank you for you being fabulous. You sure look fabulous. I haven't met you in person, but the pictures are hot.
Oh, well, I had a good photographer. You know, what can you say?
Well, you know, photographers can only do so much.
You know, okay, I'll take it.
Absolutely. You know, makeup is great, and photographers and a great hairstylist, yeah, they can make a difference, but you've got to have the right bones. Plant-powered bones, right?
Yeah.
Now, what surprised me, I say this from time to time, there was a time decades ago when I thought I was the lone vegan, and I thought I knew everybody in the vegan movement, and it's not true anymore. And I can't believe that I've never met you. You've been doing this for four decades.
Yes, but actually, Karen, we have met.
Oh, oops.
Now, no, you know, it was at the Earth Day, Vegan Earth Day in Berkeley. Weren't you and I both on the panel?
Oh, my
The Q&A
goodness.
Panel?
Yes. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
I think that there was, I think someone was between us, so, but when I saw your name come up, I was very excited because that was such a good experience to see you do a little bit of work there. We were presenting, so we weren't really interacting with each other so much as the audience, but there you have it, Vegan Berkeley Earth Day. It was a couple of years ago.
Remembering, and now I feel I'm putting my foot right in my mouth for not remembering that, but I remember it now.
No worries.
Yes, or maybe I don't even want to go there talking about forgetting, because we're not going to be those people forgetting. Anyway, that was a really interesting event, and I was happy to be there. The timing was really good for me, but I know why I didn't remember now, because it was about 2 years ago, wasn't it?
It was 2 years ago.
And we were premiering our very first Swingin' Gourmets Happy Earth Day review in San Jose right after that event. And that's where my brain was focused.
The weekend's a blur, I understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
I understand the blur.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, well, look at that. Next time I'll pay more attention.
Well, I was listening to, just coming in, your talk about these restaurants in New York City. And, you know, honestly, I live in the middle of nowhere in the woods in California, and I'm lucky if I can go 45 minutes to find a Chipotle with, like, a bean burrito. So you have it, you know, whenever these people in cities talk about their food choices, it's just like, kidney candy shop pictures for me. So congratulations.
Now, where are you? Northern
I'm in Northern California, way north.
Oh, okay.
Up in the woods.
That's nice. So you're in paradise.
Yeah. And another thing I wanted to comment, and this is perfect. You were talking about the theme was
I wasn't even thinking about it. It just came to me.
Well, You know, this is a perfect tie-in here because, as I told you, we just returned from Africa where we had a chance to go visit the elephants in the orphanage where we have we support this organization and we have several adopted elephants there. And the first baby that we adopted, her name is Mbegu. And that's an African pronunciation. You start with an M and then go right into another consonant. And it means a little seed because she was a little seed of such good things. So that's perfect. And I have a recipe named after her in the plant-based journey. It's Mbegu spicy peanut sauce. So she made it into the book.
I love that. Mbegu.
See, that's why that popped into your head.
Absolutely. I didn't do it. The universe did it. It just, like, made the come out of my mouth. Well, that's fabulous. Okay, so you've been doing this vegan thing for a long time, but it hasn't always been, let's say, easy or healthy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have to make that clear because there's a lot of arguments and discussion about terminology. I always use vegan because I don't believe in killing animals first. That's my first top priority mission. But other people who are into health like to focus on whole foods, plant-based, and they don't always mean the same thing.
No, that's correct.
So tell us a little bit about your plant-based journey.
Well, I'll tell you, I started with becoming vegetarian over like 42 or 43 years ago. And vegetarian at that time first was, that was perplexing. You know, I don't know how many people on the radio remember those days, but in those days, if you went to a restaurant and asked for vegetarian, you got a veggie what? So it was kind of like maybe we're vegan might be now, but we're just light years ahead of being able to get different kinds of foods now than we were back then. So I had dropped all animal products except I was eating dairy products, but I had given up eggs as well. And my initial reason for becoming a vegetarian was because of Ahimsa, which is nonviolence and caring for all beings and, you know, the care for the lot of animals. So that was my initial step into becoming vegetarian. At the same time, this is all explanatory of how my journey started. At the same time, I am one of those people who's genetically predispositioned to have a hard time losing weight and to easily gain weight. And I was always on the quest for some way of eating that would allow me to be full without being fat. And I'm sure my I tried this diet list is much longer than many other people who are listening. But to me, it seemed like this might also, even though I had a philosophical desire to move toward this way of eating, I thought, well, maybe it'll help me with the weight, too. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's very easy to make chocolate chip cookies without eggs and, you know, all those kinds and milk and still pound them down just like the other stuff. And I did my best in that. That regard. But it wasn't until I really moved in that whole foods piece and edged out many of the processed foods that I got this easy edge on the health and weight problem that allowed me to lose 50 pounds, which I've sustained for the last almost 20 years now. So you see, do the math there. There were still several years when I was struggling with my weight, with maybe how processed foods were going along, even though I was eating whole grains, but you know, you can spread vegan butter on. And all these things combined. And interestingly, at the time I became vegetarian, the third big reason that people go vegan and vegetarian and plant-based now is because of the environment. And you know what? That was an issue 43 years ago, and it's just even more compelling now. So all three of those drove my decision, but within that realm, I then had to adjust certain things to get my other goals in place.
I know you just said it was an issue 42 years ago, the environment, and it just gives me pause for a minute because shoulda, woulda, coulda, if only everybody had gotten it back then, we'd be in such a better place today.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we have to get it now for plant's sake.
Time's a wasting, yeah.
Okay, well, that was a good story. And there's a happy ending because we're older and we're better than ever. Mm-hmm. And there you have it. And everybody can be that way, too. So some of the things you've learned along the way, you've now put in this book, The Plant-Based Journey. And that's nice because you've kind of consolidated 40 years of learning and taken all the nuggets so that you can share it to people who want to get it right away, because that's what this culture is like. You know, we're in an instant. Everything has to be right away.
Yeah, and that does work us against us in some mm-hmm. ways. So all of the content for the plant-based journey came from was because I've also been teaching and training and coaching others for a long time. And so what I found was that though I wanted to find out what is it that makes those people successful at making this transition in a lasting way. For example, people often come to me because they want to lose weight. They hear about my story, and they are really drawn to the plant-based way for a variety of reasons, whether it's for the animals, they see it's different for the health, and, of course, the environment. But they wondering exactly how to make that happen for themselves. And the people that have gone through, respected all five of these steps are the ones who have sustainability. And that's really important, Karen. Mm. I don't, you know, Pemica says, well, I lost 50 pounds in 3 months. I go, great. Well, let's talk again in 5 years and you can tell me more about, and, you know, maybe that's how it's going to work out okay. But along with my experience in my coaching, for the plant-based journey, I surveyed over 1,200 people for their responses about, how long have you been successfully eating this way? What do you think you wish you had known when you got started that would have made it easier? And what would you like to tell other people getting started that would make it easier for them? Or if they're getting stuck along the way, what helped you get unstuck? So that all informs the manuscript, and it's just so richly full of tips and information that way. It's exciting to bring to the public.
And I think you noticed this in your surveying, but people who have been doing it longer than others, they don't necessarily forget, but they thought that the transition was shorter or easier, and then they realize, oh, no, it didn't happen overnight. It actually took steps to get there.
That's exactly right, and I'm really glad you brought that up, because one of the questions, and I report on this in the book, is what do you think is the best way to transition? One increment at a time or overnight? And it's so funny. It's exactly like you just said. Mm-hmm. For those people that reported in, oh, overnight, you know, just clean slate, cold turkey, whatever terminology they want. But then they would go on to qualify their answer by saying how they, in retrospect, it actually became incremental. So I report about that in the book, too, because I think that's interesting.
It is.
Yeah, it really came out to, well, I did a big change overnight, but in steps. So really, that's an incremental step. Yeah, very insightful.
Well, you know, I've been doing this, maybe not as long as you. I started on the vegetarian path when I was 15, so that's 42 years ago, and right now, it's like the easiest thing. I can't imagine doing anything else. It's very easy, and I have to remind myself that it took a long time to get here and a lot of bad meals. I made a lot of bad meals.
Yeah, and that's important to that you bring this information forward to, Karen, because in many of the – there's a lot of books out there about plant-based nutrition, and a lot of them are written by the doctors and the dietitians that give us really good information. But where they – connecting that with your reality is where I come in. I'm like the behavior change person to help you loop with that information. And many people who have been on this path for a while forget, exactly like you said, some of the transition pieces. For example, in the plant-based journey, I have some recipe templates, which, by the way, have gotten off to a really a good positive receipt. People are really enjoying that I put those in there, mm-hmm. and they're just based on how I cook. I love to eat, but I don't like to cook. I'm a lazy cook. Just get me something really good so I can sit down and eat it. So I use really basic, simple processes like using vegetable broth to cook chopped vegetables in a pan and then putting over rice with, you know, that kind of stuff. And for people who've been on this journey for a long, long time, that seems like second nature, just like you said.
Yeah.
But we have to realize that that is enlightening recipe information for someone who's stepping into this from another way of eating. And that's what I wanted to bring into the book so that people could feel empowered and, yeah, I can do this. I can do that.
Well, it is simple once you make that subtle little shift in your perception and open your heart to plant foods. It'll all make sense. But I think the biggest problem, not just it's a combination of things, but the big problem is people don't know how to prepare food anymore, and they don't want to prepare food. And because they don't prepare food, they don't know what's in their food. So the whole idea of getting off the animal and getting with the plant is just like speaking a foreign language when you don't even know what's in your food.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know you believe this too, but I know everybody's busy, and I know they feel like they don't have a lot of time, but I think it's so important to make food. You may not do it every day, and there's ways to save time, and you go into that in your book, but we all need to get a little familiar with the kitchen. I like to say, find your kitchen and make food.
Learn where is it?
Yeah, and then when you know what's in your food, then you can be a more empowered, knowledgeable customer in a restaurant, asking the right questions so that you get the healthy food that you want to eat.
Yeah, that's a good point. And as you also suggest in the book, I do talk about building systems for success. And that's exactly a match for what I'm talking about, is that there are simple little strategies that you can put together that aren't as overwhelming. And this is, as people might think it's going to be, and this is one of the perceptions that is problematic, is people coming from, I don't know what's in my food or where my kitchen is, as you so eloquently put it, to how do I make this thing? And they think they're going to have to do these elaborate recipes. And I don't know about you, but if a recipe has more than five ingredients, my eyes kind of glaze over. So I just like something basic and simple. And you can eat successfully plant-based without fancy recipes. And people need to take the pressure off.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, there are some recipes that are just a few ingredients that actually taste fancy, too.
Yeah. Good point. That's correct.
Anything with cashew cream in it. Cashews and water, blend it up, pour it on anything, and you have gourmet. It's amazing. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I overdosed on cashew cream this weekend, actually.
Yeah, it can happen.
It was a big festive weekend, and I'm done.
We got Labor
cashews.
Day celebrations.
Yeah, well, we had I have an unusual last name, Hartglass, and there
That's
aren't
nice.
Many people
yeah.
that have it. And about 60 years ago, the family used to get together with these reunions. They called them family circles. And I remember the last one when I was 5 years old, and we haven't had one since. So my sister just organized one this past weekend, and we met with our second cousins, our third cousins, and we even Skyped with some cousins in Israel, which
was
really, really special. And it was nice to just look at all these people that I share a lot of DNA with.
So was there, like you're telling, there was cashew cream involved this weekend too?
Well, we made a brunch here at home for my parents and my sister's family who was in, and we made a lot of cashew cream-based sauces, and our tofu scramble I was talking about earlier had cashew cream, and it was very rich.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were at Candle Cafe West, which is the newest of the candle restaurants.
Yeah, I've heard those.
And they made just some fabulous food, and I'm sure there was some cashews in some of there. Yeah, I had this... Anyway, it was just great.
I had an indulgent weekend, too, because I was invited to the VIP reception for the relaunch of Colleen's Veg News magazine.
Oh, we're going to the one in New York next
year. Yeah, I was going to ask if you were going at that one. So it was just such a great party and tons of food and like a four-tiered cake. And the baker for the cake, the business name was, of course I asked for a car because it was so good. the company was called Pig Out Vegan, and I thought, well, that's just saying it like it is. But it was a really great party. Stayed for hours and very fun up in the San Francisco near the Mission District.
Okay, we have to give ourselves credit. Vegans are phenomenal partiers.
There you go.
We love parties. We love food.
Yes.
And, yeah, because we've got a lot to celebrate. And we just want to share this delicious joy. That's all.
Well, it's something to be able to eat in a way that is in harmony with your highest ideals. I know you know that. There is a layer of that adds to life that is unmeasurable and difficult to explain until you really experience it.
Okay. One more thing. We may get back to the book in a minute, but I wanted to say that I appreciated you including your week of meals that were real meals that you actually ate.
Oh, in the journey?
Yeah.
In the book? Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad you liked that.
I did.
That instructive and helpful?
Yeah, because, well, I have this blog called What Vegans Eat, and
I started
200 days ago, and I just write what I eat. There's nothing really special about it. I just snap what I'm eating and talk about it. And I've gotten some crazy responses like, do you really eat like this? Do you eat this like this? And I have to keep saying, this is what I'm eating, okay? I'm not setting anything up here. I'm just making my plate and setting it up. And people say, but you're eating so much food. I've gotten so many responses.
Yeah.
And so it's great for people to just really see real meals.
Yes, yes. That's been a very popular section of Journey, too, because of that. People still have this, it's the old mindset of portion control based on concentrated calorie processed foods and animal products. So to remove people from that, it takes a little bit of work to tease that out.
Mm-hmm.
And even people who will be struggling and come to me for counseling support, well, I'm having my oatmeal for breakfast. And I go, well, how much do you have? And they go, a half an ounce of, and I go, what's that? But I understand where that's coming from because we have that food control dietary mindset. So I come right to where that person is, fully understand that place in the process and work with, you know, your hunger and fullness signals and how those operate and how really when you're eating plant-based, whether you call it vegan, when you're whole food plant-based, you can eat mountains of food compared to concentrated rich foods that you have to eat in smaller quantity to stay within a calorie count or you're in trouble with your weight. And that's hard to do.
Okay, now, eating on the road. It sounds like you do a lot of traveling, and you just came back from Africa in safari.
Yeah.
What were you eating?
Oh, my gosh. I just posted an entire blog with all these pictures on my plates. I'll have to send you the link because when you go on safari, have you been to Africa?
I've been to South Africa.
Oh.
I actually
travel on safari at all?
No, I'm going to brag and say it was back in 1995. And I sing opera musical theater, and I was of this Eisteddfod festival, which came from Wales originally, and it's an incredible week-long arts festival with singing and dance and countries competing in all kinds of things, and I won the grand first prize in classical voice, and that was back in 1995 in South Africa.
Congratulations.
And I was eating vegan then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, when some of the time we had our own apartment where I could do easy food preparation, but most of the time we were on safari where you go to a different lodge every 2 days. Mm-hmm. And we went last year as well. See, we're hooked on this. Once Africa gets in your blood, I tell you. But my concern was before we left and went, everyone said, well, yeah, the company told us, yes, all the different lodges, you'll be able to eat vegetarian food. Fine, but you never know what that really means, right, till you show up.
Right.
And so every single lodge, as soon as we arrived there, we said, well, do you have food for vegetarians? And I used that word because I could navigate my way through from that. Easy to do. And every place, without batting an eye, actually – they were proud of their presentations. Even one of the lodges said 70% of our food is vegetarian, and it was true. They would have all, not, of course, there was rice and chapatis and all these different grains. Then there would be potatoes. There'd always be some kind of dal, some kind of curry, all kinds of vegetables. And then, you know, as you know, in Africa, dark greens, sauteed dark greens is a very common dish, and they'd serve that with ugali, which is their traditional, it's like a polenta. It's a white maize, unsalted, and served with sauces. But I Instagrammed the whole time of one dish after another, and it got so much attention that I just, yesterday I put up at, the website's easy to find, theplantbasedjourney.com. It's the same as my website. And the latest edition in the blog is a lot of the food pictures that I took just snapped of my plate at the different lodges. So it was easy. It was maybe a little bit richer than I was used to. I didn't
use
come
a lot
across
of oil,
cashew
probably.
Cream up. Yeah, but it was easy to eat around that, too, if I wanted to. It wasn't in everything. There were mountains of salads that didn't have dressing on it, so there'd be grated carrots, chopped cucumber, tomatoes, cabbage, onions, beets, all of that. Yeah, you didn't have to sink yourself in fat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, in some ways, that's how communities traditionally were eating, primarily plants, right?
Yeah.
And now they're just getting this bad influence from us. Okay. And what do you love about Africa?
There's something about, and maybe you experienced this too, or maybe it's an experience of being out in the, we saw the crossing of the wildebeest on the Serengeti. Oh my gosh. But there's something about connecting with all of our roots.
Mm-hmm.
We all came from there a long, long time ago. And there's something very grounding and intense about that. And it's very beautiful, and the animals are so extraordinary. You know, to us, they're quite exotic, and just, I could watch elephants for hours. We stayed in one place along a river where these giant, massive elephants were just walking through camp, so you just kind of watch your step and make sure you don't get in the way of one. But, yeah. And I've always been a nature lover, and we've traveled all over the world to just work with wildlife. And this was another experience like that in a whole new world.
Yeah, well, you were fortunate to see the elephants. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to them, but it doesn't look good. Like,
no, Karen, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, I've told five people since I got back, you better go before the elephants are gone.
Yep.
Because they're holding even on the poaching problem, which is not good news. Even though there are a lot of controls in place, it's so easy with the terrain for things to slip in, poachers to slip by. There's a lot of corruption in government, people getting information they shouldn't get, and it's just heartbreaking. For those of us who, you know, get it about the animals and the planet, it's excruciating.
Yeah, the only good news I read is there was somebody going out and planting these synthetic tusks that had a chip in them. So
yeah, I think that's in National Geographic magazine. There's a feature on that. I haven't gotten a chance to read it. Just came in.
So you can see where the tusks are going. And they were hoping to find some of the poachers. And it did help them because they saw where it traveled to.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Okay, so we just have like two more minutes left. I wanted to say, can't say that I got that feeling in Africa, but I do get that feeling in Costa Rica, and especially in the wild areas. I'm not really fond of the developed parts of the country, but I love being out in the jungle and hearing nature and just eating the fruits, and it's just a spectacular feeling.
Well, we're going back to Costa Rica next year. That was the very first place we worked on the sea turtle project with the black sea turtle with the Caribbean Conservation Corps.
Very good. Well, Costa Rica is an interesting place. They just banned zoos, I believe.
Yeah.
I just remember hearing that. So that's very positive, too. Okay, so we have 2 minutes left. Tell me, Lonnie, your favorite plant-based journey food.
My favorite plant-based journey food. It depends on what my mood is. Yeah. You know, someone asked me that I was answering some of the questions from Africa. Someone was doing an interview that they posted on their blog as a review of the plant-based journey. And they said, what's your favorite go-to plant-based meal? And at the time, since I hadn't had broccoli and brown rice in like 2 weeks, that just sounded so good. And that's really true. That's kind of a go-to for me is some steamed broccoli and some good brown jasmine rice. And some kind of crumbled baked tofu with it and some kind of a sweet pepper sauce suits me just fine. I may have that for dinner tonight.
That sounds pretty good, but I know what you mean. It really depends on your mood. And yeah. Every day my answer would probably be different. Right now I can't think of a single food because my partner Gary made this amazing spinach frittata for lunch, and I'm so beyond stuffed.
Oh, we'll take it. Send the leftovers over for dinner.
Yeah, okay. Well, Lonnie, it was so good to talk to you. I was delighted to read your book, and I'm glad we could reconnect.
Yes.
And finally get you on the show, because I think I said to you back then that I wanted you to have you on my program, and finally you're here. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, and it's always a pleasure to meet up with you, and thanks for the good work you're doing.
Okay, great. All the best.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got 20 seconds left, so what can I say to all of you wonderful people out there? I hope you've enjoyed this time talking about my favorite subject, delicious plant food. I hope you do get a chance to try some of the recipes if you're not convinced yet. And, you know, if you have any questions at all, how do I do this, or what if I do this, or I did this and it was a disaster, whatever it is, you can write to me. I'll help you out. info@realmeals.org. I am there for you. Visit responsibleeatingandliving.com. And remember, have a delicious week.